Hey, this is Kent here at MindChange, and we will be having a Q&R episode coming up soon. We'd love to respond to your questions in this audience-driven episode, so please send them to podcast@mindchange.com. When you send in your questions, please attach an audio recording of it, stating your name, where you are from, and then clearly asking your question for us. Please also transcribe your question in written form on the email when you send it in. We look forward to hearing from you.
We operate from the belief that there's a good reason that it's happening. Not good in the sense of like universally good, but yeah. For you, it's good that it's like safety. It's, this is my best effort right now. We really believe that.
Yeah.
And so going
if your body's so good and your mind's so good at protecting yourself,
right?
What more can you do?
Right.
Welcome to the Mind Change Podcast. I'm your host, Heather McKean, speaker and author of the bestseller, Mind Change, and creator of the Mind Change Method. Out of the ashes of my own healing journey, I became an armchair expert in the mind-body connection and the neurobiology of trauma. Using the methods we will discuss on this podcast, we have helped countless people transform issues that previously seemed impossible to overcome. Each week, we'll dive deep into the strategies, insights, and success stories that will inspire and equip you to harness the power of your mind, body, and spirit in order to create the life of your dreams. Together, we are changing the world, one mind at a time.
Welcome back to the Mind Change Podcast. I'm your host, Heather McKean. Please take a moment to like, subscribe, download, and share these episodes. It really helps us to continue to create all this great content for you and to know that we're meeting the needs of the people watching. Today, I'm super excited. We've got another testimonial episode with someone named Molly. So welcome, Molly.
Hi.
Thanks.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So I know little about you. What I know is that you just wrapped up a session package.
Yes.
With Kent, actually.
Yep.
So overall, how was that for you?
It's been easy. That's the word. And that's what I wanted it to be, was easy. I think I have made a lot of things complicated in my past, and my hope was that this would be easy. And it was
easy.
Like, you laugh. I came out and I was laughing, and I was like, wow. That felt really great.
No, I don't know what you came in for. Yeah. I don't know any of that. But looking back, however long ago you were like, I think I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think you could have been laughing about what you were coming in with?
Absolutely not. I would have said, impossible. They're not going to crack this code. Yeah.
So do you mind sharing what it is that you, like what brought you to Mind Change?
So I started counseling in 2021, and my counselor was just elite. And she really did help me identify some things, and we would get down into it. And then just, I felt like bombs were going off in my life. And it got to be too much. And then I would find a wave of calmness, and then more things would come up, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going to be doing counseling forever, until this past fall, we moved, and I shifted gears because of the move, and I looked at my counselor, and I was like, why am I still doing this? And she's like, you tell me. And I'm like, I feel safe with you, and you know me, and you see me. And she goes, yeah. And that's when she told me to come to Mind Change.
Okay.
So she was like, all right, I think it's time. I would say the reasons that I was in counseling initially were from birth trauma was a big part of my story. Mm-hmm. We then had family trauma experiences, and then you get introduced to this concept of childhood trauma, and you're like making up all your stories in your mind. And we had continued to experience things in our lives, and I felt like my ability to process was at a halt, that I just felt stuck, and I felt explosive angry. My ability to love my children that are 5 and 1 was getting harder to be who I knew that I was made to be. And I was over it. And I said, I'm done. I'm ready to experience life to the full that I know has been promised to me.
And that's so what brought you into counseling in the first place.
To mind change.
Well, that's what brought us.
So okay, I had experienced all these things, like walking through counseling, finding wins, identifying things, but couldn't get past them. Mm. We did a lot of somatic experience, but similar to previous podcasts, it just, some programs I was running were running up against it. So right. Every time I would maybe attempt to heal something, it would come back times 10. And I felt from the first moment, my first session, I was able to view things through a different filter. And I was like, haha, I knew I could do this. That's kind of what got me into mind change and making the okay, I'm ready for the next step.
So was the first time you had ever heard about mind change through your counselor?
So I want to say no. I feel like I have been a part of a girl named Corey Malloy's course called Freely Rooted. And she has mentioned it, thrown it out, mind change. And you're like, oh, that sounds nice. And then you resistance kicks in and you don't think about it again. And then my counselor mentioned it once because she's also familiar. And over my head, because I was choosing it. And I was like, wait a minute, what did you say about that mind change thing? Okay, now I hear it enough, and now I want in. And that's when my counselor was like, okay, you hear me now. Yes, let's do mind change. So,
oh, that's such a great point, because there's so many people that it's been
yeah.
dropped in from various places, yeah. and you're only really ready.
When you're ready.
And when you're ready.
I initially did my first consult, just a call and see, can you handle me? And Kent answered, because I think I was like, I'm going to go do Belize. It didn't work out with little children at the time. But I was trying to test Kent out. And he was like, so do you think that you can heal or get over these things? And I was like, well, I'm so worried that you're not going to be able to do that. And he goes, that's the first thing we're going to work on, is that you don't think that you can. And I was like, oh, he saw through me. And that's when I was humbled. And guess what? That was in November. And then I called again a couple months later.
So what happened in between the consult and okay, it's time to do this?
I listened to the book.
Oh, great.
So that was my first thing. I was like, I'm going to listen to the book. And I was in the middle of a long-term infection during nursing my baby. And so that was just ruminating in my brain and kind of causing a fog where I wasn't ready yet to raise my hand and do anything about it and take radical responsibility till the new year. Then I was like, wait, I'm done. Mm. I'm done, or I'm just going to fall backwards. And that's when I started listening to the podcast. I think that's when I did my next consult call, when I'm like, no, I'm serious, because my husband was my advocate. He had been on his own listening to all the podcasts, doing all the things, and he had been kind of nudging mind change, but he knew that he couldn't force me. Mm. So when he saw me desperate and I came to him and I said, hey, I think I want to invest in this. He was like, yes.
Oh.
And so the supportive spouse is really what gave me the courage to move past all my programs on financials, right? And be like, no, I am worth investing in, and I believe what can come from this. And so then we booked it.
So would you have said, if I were in your life at the time, how would I have known that you were kind of at this struggle? How was that manifesting?
Anxiety, doing lots of anxiety, very anticipatory anxiety, always thinking about what ifs in the future. My ability to change was hard. It was hard to just consider changing plans in the day. You may not have seen it, but you could feel it. My parenting, if someone was observing me, we had One of my husband's sisters and her husband, they were also moving at the time. They stayed in our house. And so they kind of got to witness a little bit of behind the scenes over the holidays. And my sister-in-law is so sweet. And she was like, "How you feeling?" And I was like, "All right, I'm seen." Mm-hmm. And so it is humbling when people can see your heaviness. You're like, it's like I wasn't able to get fully authentic with myself because I was so afraid of myself. Mm-hmm. I was so afraid of exploding, but everyone else could see it. And so when you're like, okay, well, I can't hide that and got to do something about it. You like, I decided to truly fight for something outside of myself and then also for myself.
What did you think was going on back then? Like, what kind of thoughts were going through your head about you, about this?
I'm not a nurturing mother. I'm a failure. I'm going to mess up my kids. I already messed up my kids.
You know, it's hard so funny? To
me. I'm like, you know, I watched and listened to podcasts. I'm like, I'm doing the thing where I'm like, wait, what did I think? This is a sweet thing. This would just show you where my brain's at. I don't know. Like, I don't know what I was talking with my counselor for at least the past 2 years. Like, there were some legitimacy things, like trauma that happened that was unbelievably helpful to talk through with somebody certified. But I don't know what I've been doing since then. I'm like, what were you talking about? Do you just want to be heard and seen? And so I don't know. I don't know what I've been up to. But for sure, parenting and anger are ones that I would say I've just come out of, mm-hmm. are experiencing this like life in abundance and not scarcity.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
So fair to say you came into your first session feeling a little skeptical.
Totally. But open. Kind of like, this is it. It's all on the line. So like I felt both.
Mm. And it's hard to explain what a session's like, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard. I know when people are like, so what's it like? It's like, it's going to be different for everybody. It's a really...
I laugh a lot. I laughed a lot.
Laughed through my traumas.
I was like shedding tears and then I was laughing. And that was such a, honestly, like a really childlike experience, which made my heart so warm. Like my husband was like, how was it? I'm like, it's good. As I was just letting things settle.
So you've done, I think, 4 sessions.
Yeah.
And what did you see even after the first session?
So I had a really sweet conversation with another family member who has seen me walk through all the things. And we are talking about my sessions with Mind Change. And she said, okay, so are you going to go back to your counselor afterwards? And my immediate response was, why would I? I like looked at her like, why? And I could hear in my little head being like, because your life's so hard. And because it wasn't, I was like, my heart's so, why? I have nothing to go for. Like, my heart is full. I'm seen and loved and worthy of that. And my family member, like, got tears in her eyes. And we're both like, did I just say that out loud? And I just cherished that sweet moment. And I went and like told my husband and he had a very similar response. He had tears in his eyes and just hugged me. And you're like, wow, the renewal of the mind can happen and it doesn't have to be hard. And so that was a really sweet experience that I have experienced even after like 2 sessions, which was wild. I've been in counseling for 4 years, almost 4 years.
Wow.
And you feel the freedom. It's different to say, I know that I'm loved and seen and worthy. We can say those things out loud if that's like what you know you are to believe. But embodying it is different. And I knew that. And I worked really hard to embody it. But it's not the same. Like once I truly integrated that new program, it was a charge that I've never felt before.
I think that's what some people have a bit of a hard time understanding because the somatic piece is, it's there and they're, you're approaching it through the body. But if the mind keeps replaying for good reason to say, hey, we want to get this resolved. This is what's really the problem.
Yes.
And you're trying to, we're working so hard to force your body into a safety posture and.
But you're not believing it.
It's an incongruency.
Yeah. It's attacking. Like you're, then your brain's like, I'm going to find 10 reasons why. That's not true.
Right. Because the brain doesn't want us to be out of alignment. It wants us to be.
That wasn't safe.
Yeah.
But when you know it's safe and you feel it's safe and it's together, it's a superpower.
Yeah.
You're like, this is what it feels like to live. Mm. I'm living and my children feel it. My household feels it. The people around me have been like, huh, you know, is this real? And I'm like, it's real. And I don't even need to prove it to you because I feel it inside of me.
Oh my goodness. That's huge. That piece right there.
I don't need that. Mm-hmm. Because I feel it and I'm walking straight.
So what have you noticed in, we talk about this not as a promise or a guarantee, but it just happens so often where when a mama comes in and does work on themselves, for themselves, we often see a shift in the children.
Yeah.
That became a side effect that I was starting to put together. I saw it happen in my own life, but I kept thinking I must be an anomaly.
Sure.
But then client after client and story after story, and it became kind of hard to ignore that when we do the work, our children are impacted.
They little mirrors. Mm-hmm. And all those things that are triggering you, it's not your child. They're just little messengers. They're gifts. That's what I tell my child. Like, this was a sweet thing that I experienced in my session was my five-year-old likes to ask me, why do you love me, mama? And this was always before. This was before mind change. And I knew what to say. Because you're my child. You are a gift. We prayed for you. You're a gift. And you're just because you're my child, not because of what you do or what you don't do. It's just because you're my child. You know, you can say those things. But again, it was like backlash on me. So then he'd ask me again. And he'd like to ask me all day. And I'm like, don't ask me that question again. I can't handle it. And I'm like, hold your composure. And I'm like, oh, he can read this. He can read mommy. Mm. Okay. So actually in between, I did two sessions in one day for my first mind change sessions. And in between, I took a little walk with my son. And I was just waiting for him to ask. And he asked me, I was like, I'm like, just do it. I know you want to. And he was like, mommy, why do you love me? And I got down on my knees and looked him in the eyes. And I said, because you're my child. And he only asked me once. And we both like kind of like skipped away. You know, he's five. So it wasn't like he wasn't like emotional with me, but I was like, oh, that was so healing. Mm.
Could you see that the answer had landed differently?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was like funny. And I, part of my story then as layers unravel, right? Where we shift back home and there was one day before my last session where he had been like insistently asking me. And I'm like, okay, why is this annoying me? Why you keep asking me the same question again? I've already told you and we already had that experience. And then I realized it was this like, neediness. It was like, it wasn't no longer like attached to love because I crushed that, right? Mm-hmm. But now there was this like neediness and there was this abundance versus scarcity that like started speaking to me. So then we like work on our last session and now my brain's like, I have embodied all these things again and now I can hear my child asking that question. Mm. And I'm like, okay, there's no lack or need in me now. So now I can sit here and I'm so confident that when he asks me next that I'm going to feel something completely different because I've already been playing it in my head and I'm so ready for it once again because there was another layer to process. And I think that's something that was helpful for people. Like I knew going in as someone who had like worked in counseling, but don't be discouraged when something else presents itself. Like view it as an opportunity to what you guys would like to say, level up,
level up. It was an opportunity for me to step into something else. Mm-hmm. And because my worth and all that was so programmed deep in me, I was willing to step into that. And then when that's programmed, things fly, things shift, things flow. And I'm now walking completely different than I did 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So
such a beautiful story.
Why do you love me? You know, so sweet.
Yeah. I remember one of my daughters constantly asking when she was right about his age, like, are you okay? Like, are you okay?
I'm okay.
Like always like with me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And then and I was like, wait, am I okay?
Keep asking me.
Yeah. But she was really just reflecting.
I know.
And, you know, there came a point when finally me doing the work and unlayering all of these things and realizing, gosh, I really didn't exist in my body. I would not have known whether I was okay or not. Because I was in this constant state of survival. And she was picking up on that. Yeah. And so she was like, you're not okay, but I'm going to ask you if you're okay.
It's a kind gesture.
Yes. Yes. She was being kind. And yeah. I just didn't see it at the time.
Yeah.
And when I learned everything that I've learned, and of course, it's been quite a evolved learning process, then I started to see like, oh, okay. And funny enough, over time, she stopped asking me in that same way.
Of course.
And I think she finally,
no surprise.
Yeah, got to start like thinking about herself. Because she didn't have to be caring about mommy the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Which was a repeat of my story when I was little.
And I even like talking about my relationship to my parents has shifted. I feel more childlike. I got to experience Father's Day. And like, I love my dad. He's so amazing. But of course, all those little programs running in your brain, regardless of the truth, which is another thing that Mind Change was really helpful for, is being like, is that really what happened? Could I give grace to like maybe, but maybe not? And then doesn't matter. Let's still fix it and be okay. You know, like give yourself grace in that and understand the like complexity of a childhood little brain, right? And I just remember my dad was in the pool and I literally ran and jumped on him, not like on him. And he could handle me. He's like 6'4" and super strong. But I just jumped on him and we were giggling and it was a sight to see. There was like, it was so wholesome. And it's that moment where you're like, that wasn't promised, but like, I don't think I would have done that. I don't think I would have done that because I just viewed my lens was corrected. My lens was corrected.
I love that. Yeah. Changing things generationally. Like you're seeing it happen in your son and it's going back and resolving.
And your children are watching you do that.
Totally.
They're watching.
Yes. And oftentimes, this is a little bit more in the psychology realm of things, but oftentimes our relationship with our husbands can be impacted by our relationships with our fathers.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of healing. So speaking to that, your husband being your biggest advocate.
I got a good one.
Would he say that this was worth it?
Yes. I think so. Right, babe? Worth it? something funny that I actually was just processing with him is this concept of a program I think I was running was I am special and I need special attention. So I just kept creating all of these like hard pregnancies, hard postpartums, injuries, my doing anxiety, all these things that would, the program of like, I need to be hurting and needy to get attention. I need to be broken. That's when you get attention. Now, backstory, I am a big sister to triplets. Uh-huh. So it was me for 5 years and then three little babies, which is like a dichotomy because I was so excited to have siblings and get away from me, right?
Yeah.
And there was no processing of the get away from me because there was just chaos. Bless my parents to have triplets come into the home, right? And so of course I ran that little program. Like, what can I, oh, ouch, mommy, help, you know? And so that's like I'm a first child. which that like kind of aligns with that little cute program. And so you get married, and this is the best part. My husband is one of 13 children, same parents, no multiples, all 2 years apart. He's the third oldest. And I find it interesting that I married somebody who that probably wasn't a program that he needed, because his parents were so amazing and he knew that he was loved and he lived in abundance already, which I love that there was some little program in me that wanted that.
Yeah.
I wanted that. I don't know where that was, because when we got married, I was like, you're going to make me step up to all these things. Like, I don't you say I'm so needy, like, help me. And, I think there was a moment where Josh asked me, I was like, hey, I was just so defeated. Like, the kids are crying. He has to go to work. And I'm just like sitting there and I'm so angry. And, he's like, you can do it. I believe in you. And it just put everything on flames. Like, I got so mad because it went against my program. Mm-hmm. You are now the enemy. You interfered with what I'm running on, and that interferes with me. And it went against my capability. Okay. So now, you know, you work on things like your worthiness. Your capability goes, hey, we can do this. Your anticipatory anxiety goes out the window, right? You're like, hey, I can accomplish this. Like, and it's okay if this happens because I can do this. Okay. So then your energy goes up and it's like, oh no, are you going to get attention? I don't need it. And so I've like found myself living in that freedom where my husband's able to live in his fullest potential now because I'm living in my fullest potential. And bless his heart for all the moments that he chose to serve me. He was a wise man. He never got down and fed that program, which is what made me so frustrated, but love him. But there was still part of me that like admired him for that because he was gentle and kind in his approach. And I think that was really amazing. This like capability, this energy then allows us to do this life dance together is how it's supposed to be. It feels so good. I cannot wait for someone to ask me these questions in 2 months, 6 months, 2 years. I cannot wait to see my marriage continue to thrive because I had a supportive husband who saw me, knew I needed a little push, didn't fall into victimhood, you know, called up radical responsibility, but was firm yet gentle. He held that so well for me, which was really, really sweet. So my ability to be capable for sure will bless my marriage and my family.
That's amazing. I love that story.
Yeah.
It's hard to, I'm trying to sit here and imagine, had you been watching this podcast, you know, like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and listening to you going like, I must be different.
Like, good for them. Good for them. Good job, guys.
Right?
Love like, that.
I don't know. My husband must not be, or, you know, those things, those stories that we tell ourselves, because in those programs, when we're really running them, they're subconscious. Mm-hmm. So we're not aware that they're there, but they're so powerful that to see outside of them feels like we're literally seeing another universe or seeing another planet.
Or like, how dare you say that I'm running that program?
Exactly.
How dare you say that? You know,
I'm like needing attention.
That I'm needy. Oh, don't say that to me.
That's the worst one.
Yeah. I had a full blown conversation with my husband, and he wasn't saying I'm needy, but he was saying I'm needy. But like in a way of being like, Molly, like you can. And this was, I mean, years ago, and he's learned. Okay, that language was not helpful, but he was feeling something, and I would have never been able to admit to that. My programs were so deep and I was so firm in them. And this just uprooted them like a tiny little weed, you know?
It makes sense why we couldn't have something said to us that might universally be accepted as like a nice thing. Hey, you can do it. I know. And it
what a cheerleader.
Through.
What a cheerleader.
Yeah, but for the person who's running the program, legitimately that feels threatening.
It was.
It feels threatening to the program, to the system.
It was to my safety.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
That's hard to understand from an outside perspective.
And again, would have never been able to say that. I'm like laughing. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
So funny.
That's really great. Yeah. So you've seen improvements in your relationships with family members, husband, kids, and you've talked a lot about just how differently you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
So if you could speak back to Molly, you know, 2 years ago, or even how long ago do you sort of connect to the birth trauma? Was that with your first?
That was starting with my first in 2020.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So even that far back after that, like, what would you want to tell her about herself in the future? What was she going to be able to feel, see, hear?
One of the most powerful things are the eyes. That's like what has spoken to me. It's like, I didn't realize how much eye contact I have avoided in my life with everyone, with myself. And even if I hold it for a moment with my husband or my children, it's brief. Brief. I would look at myself in the eyes and I would smile and I would say, you are worthy. There is nothing you did. You just were. You came, you were loved before you were even in your mother's womb, and you just were. May you know that. You are loved and you are seen. I see you, and you can do anything with those. Hold all of those inside of you, and you are capable of anything.
That's beautiful.
That's what I would say to little Molly, who was sitting there wondering all those things.
Yeah, I mean, birth trauma is unfortunately, I think, more and more and more common.
Yeah.
And we're hearing that and seeing that. And so could you speak a little bit more to that? I know it's tough when – and again, you said you heard this and you're like, I don't know, but it's tough to go back when something was really painful and it actually changes in your mind.
Sure.
To find those resources again. It is legitimately difficult because it's changed in the mind, which is what we're looking for. But I know there's a lot of people out there who maybe experienced birth trauma and don't, and they feel like, this is what really happened to me. How on earth am I supposed to feel any different about this?
Birth trauma. I think there are things like the nurturing mom. I was so afraid of bringing a child into this world because I was so afraid, like, can I nurture you? So there was this like unbelief that I was going to be able to do it, that I was going to be able to give this child what it needed. And then there also was this, the abundance piece, like, okay, well, if I'm going to have to think about this child first. Right. And I didn't know that. Of course you have a baby and you're like, I want to give everything and everything and everything. And so it's that abundance versus scarcity that I didn't realize was right here the whole time. The nurturing mother, I thought, was the primary thing. Oh, it's because of this. Oh, it's because of this. But really, as I'm sitting here talking to you, I think I felt like scared and threatened. Like my own little child self was scared and threatened. And so when you're holding all that fear, why in the world would you want to just casually let the baby out? No, you're going to stay in there. I'm scared.
Yeah. I know I can do this part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do the next stage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have more control when you're in here. And so I think there is that reality. And then,
of course, subconscious, right? These were not things you were conscious. No. You were like, yay, baby. So exciting. And all the outside things there are to do to distract you from.
And then you hear society, motherhood's so hard. Get your coffee ready. You're going to have sleepless nights. It's like they paint children as not life givers. So of course, if you're abundant scarcity mindset, that's coming for you.
Yeah.
Be like, oh no, for sure. Yeah. And you're going to be like, okay, this allows me then to embody that scarcity. And so then people need to help me. I need help. And then you view those other moms like, oh, well, that's just them. That's just them. That's not attainable. Like, I have postpartum depression. That was a big one. I just remember that. It was postpartum.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Like, severe. I saw a psychiatrist because it was OCD, ADHD, postpartum depression at its most highest. And I'm like, of course I was doing those things. A, I thought it was allowed and expected. And then it allowed me kind of like a, again, this is all subconscious, but a little bit of a cop out.
Yeah.
Like, I need help. So then I didn't have to fully step in to this like maiden motherhood, which was hard. I never kind of like witnessed that growing up as much. And so then there's like, okay, well, now I can just like blame all these things outside of me. Okay. Then you shift to like victim mode. Oh no. Then you hear that other side of media. It's my fault. I can't do gentle parenting. I can't do that. I try my hardest, but I can't. I'm ruining my kids, right? So then you shut down and you hold all this anger inside of you, which creates a whole other animal, right? Mm-hmm. So you can like swing. You can swing both ways. Or like the tired mother, right? Those things don't have to be. I'm going to say that as that was something I lived, and this is my experience, and I've seen many others live in that freedom of, what if children give? What if they're life givers? What if they're messengers? What if that moment that you don't want to stop and nurse a baby is actually the biggest blessing in the world for you to sit and be still? What if you're regulating together? Mm. What if it's giving to you? What if you have so much abundance and light in you, and that's why your children want to be close to you? Why does having a sweet little baby have to just rock your world in the worst ways? Why can't it be in the best ways? Now, to step into that means to go against a lot of society. You might get weird looks when you're co-sleeping with your babies, you know? So I think that to hold that worthiness, to hold those abundance is really key and really important to be able to walk into those different areas of birth trauma. Even if there was physical trauma, which again, I think a lot of my physical trauma I was holding in, I was so scared with my first. And then my second one, I was also scared with my second, because that meant that my first, just like little Molly when the triplets came, was about to experience. And I did not want that sweet little boy to feel whatever I perceived or felt, right?
Yeah.
And so I was trying not to like push that onto him, but I was pushing it onto him. And I actually had a moment where I just released. I actually did acupuncture and just, okay, I'm ready for that second baby to come. My firstborn's going to be okay. That baby came that night. I don't think that was a coincidence, right? I surrendered. And so I do think that that was another reason. And when, again, you hold everything in, it's not supposed to be like that. Your body is supposed to relax, widen, fluid. Like, that's how it's supposed to be. Birth doesn't have to be traumatic. It can actually be the most abundant, life-giving level up. It can level up.
It can.
Yeah.
And yet so many women out there are not experiencing that.
Yeah.
And then
they get stuck. They might. This is what they do. Yeah. They do all the birth courses. They try to do the meditations. They like, I did it. I read the books. I tried to like embody and become. It didn't fully transpire how I thought it was, but I still did it. And so that did break some little chain, but like, whoo, that was hard. Like, in a mind change session, I'm like, okay, that sounds like a lot more relaxing to be able to do something like that. But yeah, I tried. It wasn't like I just like walked in to a birth. Like, I went from a hospital birth to a home birth. And I still wasn't holding those firm things, which is why I think there were a lot of repercussions after that, that I was creating. I wanted to be seen. Yeah. So I'm curious how, God willing, in the future, another baby comes, how this one will go.
Yeah. We've seen amazing results in that way because of dealing with what we bring in. Totally. The tough thing about that is that people hear these stories and they they are not really stepping into the truth that it's subconscious programming. So it becomes
which
a
is like
blame.
What even is that?
Right.
Right.
Totally. So they already feel same ways that you were feeling, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. guilty and ashamed and I can't do this and I'm not nurtured and I'm already not resourced enough myself.
Yeah.
And all these things are now happening to me when I just tried my best.
Yeah.
I tried my best. I did all the things. I did it all right. Mm-hmm. And this still was the outcome. And now you're telling me that I had something to do with it. That's what people hear. And it's just, and we get a number. I have my own birth course.
Yeah.
I'm a part of another birth course yeah. as a guest teacher on that course. Obviously, some of my best friends are in this mm-hmm. field. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And I've also helped hundreds of women at this point have what they would have called pain-free births mm-hmm. and deliveries. And the hate that they get from sharing their stories.
It's the same concept of the trigger. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can do it. And it's like, oh, I oughta. It's the same concept, yeah. right? These women who long and maybe don't know how to know what's deep down stored and going on, which like there's a really powerful quote that's meant a lot to my husband, but it's don't view people in light of what they do or what they omit to do, but by their sufferings. Mm. And I think to even view yourself that way, right? To be like, what's going on? Why am I so offended by someone telling me that I could have something to do with it? Start there.
Yeah. Our languaging within the mind change world and community is, what's the very good reason mm-hmm. that you're doing that thing, having that reaction? It sort of helps reframe, yeah, that there's, even if it's a horrific response, mm-hmm. we operate from the belief that there's a good reason that it's happening. Not good in the sense of like universally good, but yeah. for you, it's good that it's like safety, this is my best effort right now. We really believe that.
Yeah.
And so going
if your body's so good and your mind's so good at protecting yourself.
Right.
What more can you do?
Right.
Yes. If you're so good at responding this way, could you be so good at responding that way? Like if you're really good at doing that thing, I bet you could be really good at doing this thing. But it's the concept. It's like, okay, but that like that shift just can't be a conscious shift for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like mine had to be like a, what's going on back there that I'm not able to see. And it's okay to ask for help. Like, that's why this is so beautiful. Like, I also have a friend who's doing it on her own and doing the workbook. Like, everyone's different. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also what's important. It's like, not everyone's going to have the same response I do or you do. People have to find their own journey. Mm-hmm. We're all uniquely wired. And I think like giving yourself grace and not comparing, but listening and bringing in what fits in your little realm, right? It doesn't have to be my story.
Right. You don't have to buy into the whole thing, know everything and all the neuroscience and all the everything behind it. But if something little does the opposite of what we would refer to as a trigger, but as a glimmer,
ooh,
it's still a trigger. But it's just, it's a good thing. We're wired actually to get really good triggers.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, I remember that. It's the smells at Christmas and it's the taste of this. Those are the same mechanisms that we call triggers. Yeah. It's just doing it to the negative.
Yeah.
So these little glimmers, like if that's why we do these podcasts is if someone hears this story and
one little pebble in your shoe.
Yeah, just like you when you heard from this person, then you heard from this person.
Yeah.
And then it took your husband even going, hey, what about that it finally clicked.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is so wonderful. I think we hit on a lot of great things. For anybody out there listening who may uniquely connect to any part of your story, what would you want them to know? Like speaking back to maybe when you were first hearing these things, had you heard what you needed to hear to give yourself hope back then? What might someone out there need to hear?
Need or want?
Yeah, right? That's a distinction for sure.
I think the first thing is like, take a deep breath. Slow down. Just like feel a little bit what's going on when you're hearing these things.
and like kind of like manifesto, like, what do you want? Or like, what are you sick and tired of? And what do you want? How are you going to get there? Have you taken a step, right? Just start with a step, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to be sick and tired and know that it can change. Like, go listen to the book. It'll make sure that you know that it can change. You're not stuck. It's a choice that you're making. Like, you're not stuck. And I think then the ability to be like, what could my life be if I wasn't doing these things?
Mm. Huge part of it. I was just speaking with a client yesterday and getting into the, so what do you want? And it was like,
we know what we don't want.
Yes.
But what do you want? What do you want? She couldn't
even, it was so far of a concept to what she wanted, what she felt, what she thought, rather than just, well, to do whatever makes everyone else happy, to not get the kind of reactions and chaos. And we really got down to the fact that she had no idea. And we had to go back to, you know, her being a little girl. And when did you lose you being actually important? Because let me tell you, any of us with littles, they know they're important and they make that sure. well known. Yeah. Right. Until they're trained out of it, unfortunately. Yeah. And hopefully we don't do that anymore. But yeah, knowing what you want is such a huge piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And we hold the space for understanding. As silly as it sounds, there's a lot of people out there who don't know.
I know.
They've not considered it.
And if you think you know, try it out.
Right.
See if you do know.
And then some people will be like, well, I think I want this. And then they are not aware of the barrage of voices or pictures or knowings that come up to say, but this is why you can't have it.
Yeah. So then what's stopping you?
Right.
So if this is what you want, then what is stopping you? Like, even the best episode I would tell someone, like, hey, go back and listen to it, is the one on secondary gains. That one opened my eyes. Like, the secondary gains and the resistance. I think they're two separate podcasts. And that showed me, like, okay, how is this serving me? Which was a different way to view that. How is this serving me? How is me doing this loss of energy, parenting, like turmoil, motherhood, like where am I being served in that? Mm-hmm. Could I be served like something else? You know, does it have to be this way? And you're like, huh, that's humbling that I was being served that way. So I think even coming at it from a different angle was also really helpful. So yes, the secondary gains and the resistance.
Yeah, I love that. Because we're going to run into that in almost any session. And so that people are sort of prepared. The thing is that people try to do that consciously. Okay, let me think of what my secondary gain is. And it's just not the way that it works.
Yeah.
Then your conscious mind will try to come up with reasons.
And we're really good at that.
Really good.
And we're really good at finding the things to validate our other things.
Yes. And those are the whys.
Yeah.
And we say in Mind Change, we never ask why. It's the deeper, the construct of it that we're after and the very good reason that it's happening and how you're doing it instead.
Yep.
And so, and it really, as simple as that sounds, it really changes everything.
Yeah. It's the leveling up.
Yes.
Leveling up.
Well, I have a strong suspicion that we will be following up with you, that you will be around, that this is not the last we'll be seeing of you. So I'm sure we'll have to schedule a check-in and see how this goes. Yeah, because and that's another thing. Listen, you're fairly fresh off of your sessions.
Yes.
We usually are interviewing people after they've been out of sessions for a while so that people can see that it sticks. Because it doesn't – I wouldn't be here if this stuff was temporary.
Yeah.
If it was just a quick fix or a cognitive reframe or giving you some more positive affirmations to, you know, try or – white knuckle every day. No, this is the way I'm going to be. I am loved. I'm abundant.
Yeah.
You know, like that's really hard and exhausting. And people don't last in it very long.
Yeah.
So this stuff lasts because the change happens in the mind.
Yeah.
And the automatic, same programs you were running automatically that you didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
That's what was running your thoughts, behaviors, actions, and beliefs.
It was the analogy. I think Kit and I were talking about like, okay, you're so used to going down this road. And I felt like the past couple of weeks, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to go down that road. And there was like a construction, like, stop, this road's closed, go the other way. And I'm like, oh, okay. And that road was like super bumpy and crazy. And this one's like electric bike flying. And you're like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, that one's a good road. I'm going to take that one for sure. But you find yourself being like, oh. So I'm definitely in that little like, oh, I don't have to go. I can choose. I have the choice. Mm. And I don't have to do that. I can pause. And that's been a beautiful thing. So yes, I'm so excited to see where I will be in the next bit.
And even more wonderful than that is you actually have a lot of choice and agency in what that, how that turns out.
Yeah.
You almost get to write it, create it. And be a part of it instead of life happening to you.
Yeah.
That you really get to be the author of your journey.
Totally.
That's when stuff gets.
Yeah.
Just to tell you. That's when this stuff gets really cool. And mind change, people think they come in to just change their problems.
Yeah.
That's not even really the beginning of mind change. That's sort of the green room, if you will.
That's what you're focusing on. So if you're not like focusing on your problems and you're focusing on life to the full, what more can you experience when you're looking through that filter?
Yeah.
My filter has been shifted. I now am seeing in color.
Mm, that's beautiful. Yeah. Molly, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for pushing through, doing the work, hearing the call.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting because I love generational healing.
Yes.
So to hear it's tracking back to your father and you're seeing it in your son. Mm-hmm. And I know the impact that has, past and future. So you're contributing to the world healing in that way. So thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
And thank all of you for joining us once again on the Mind Change Podcast, where we are changing the world one mind at a time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Mind Change Podcast. We hope that you found the insights and inspiration shared today valuable in your own journey of personal growth. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast, or if you're watching us on YouTube, please like and follow us there. And we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star rating and review. It has measurable impact on how well we're able to reach others and continue to produce more free content to share. But mostly, thank you for taking this time as an opportunity to invest in yourself. Until next time, let's keep changing the world one mind at a time.